In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, some years back when I was a seminarian in Gridigliano, my spiritual director told me one day, "You do know that Christ died for our sins. So make it worthwhile." I thought it was a little strange to say that. But if you think about it, it's not strange at all. At first, it might sound like an encouragement to sin, as if we needed any encouragement, but not really. It's about the action of God's grace in our lives and in the lives of the saints. In a sense, this is what we celebrate in today's feast, this great feast of All Saints. It's All Saints, and it's the saints that make Christ's death worthwhile. They make Christ's death worthwhile because the stuff from which saints are made, it's not plaster, it's not pastel paints. It's flesh and blood, sometimes weak, sometimes sinful. And it's from this kind of clay, sinful humanity, that God transforms us by His grace and shapes us into a thing of beauty. We become a precious vessel that He marks with His seal and fills us with His divine spirit, and indeed fills us with His own precious body and blood. But for this to be the case, the clay must know its nature and be malleable, formable, and yet with able to withstand the heat of the kiln. Now, today's feast would have us perhaps call to mind that we are sinners, yet we strive for virtue and holiness. We might remember the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. Remember that the difference between the publican and the Pharisee was not that one was a sinner and the other was not. No. Both were sinners. But the publican knew that he was a sinner, that he was nothing, that he was clay. He acknowledged his sinfulness and recognized his distance from God's holiness. And he longed for God's mercy. "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He longed to see God face to face. Now, such a person, we might say, is poor in spirit. And this is the beginning of sanctity. This is the beginning of blessedness. It sets one on the path to virtue. With this in mind, we realize that the path to holiness begins with this first step, the admission of our sins, and the need, our need, of God's transforming grace. And we see this desire expressed by the knowledge that these friends of God had, the saints. They cry out, "Salvation belongs to our God," as we heard in today's epistle. And those who become saints constantly beg for God's salvation. They long to be with Him and hope that one day they shall see Him also face to face. The one who is poor in spirit is like, as we know, a child. As we are God's children, like all children, we make mistakes. We're still learning. We're learning to live well and to be truly human as Jesus wants us to be. We're learning to walk in Christ's footsteps. We're learning to speak. With that word of God, that scripture planted in our hearts. And we're yearning to be nourished. Nourished on the sacraments, above all, the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist. In a sense, it's in the nature of a child to stumble, to learn, to grow. And so when we say that God loves us as children, we also say, I think, that God loves sinners. That he loves sinners because only the one who knows he is a sinner, who is failing, struggling, striving, knows he needs God and needs his salvation. Such a person relies on God's mercy and love, the love shown on the cross. So as we heard in today's epistle, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Because it's Christ's death and resurrection that wins us salvation. His blood, that precious blood which we receive at Holy Mass in the Most Blessed Sacrament, which is poured out for us and frees us from this great tribulation of sin and death. So in a very real way, we can rejoice that we have so merciful and generous a Savior. Certainly we must strive not to sin. But as we hear every Easter vigil, O felix culpa, O happy fault, O necessary sin of Adam that won for us so great a Redeemer. Now, some theologians argue that Christ came to perfect creation, to be its crown and completion, and that he would have become man even if Adam had never sinned. Yes, of course, Jesus, we know, is the perfection of creation, but as St. Thomas Aquinas tells us clearly, Christ became man for our salvation. And for that to be the case, he needs sinners to make it worth his while. But he not only needs sinners, he needs sinners who know their need of salvation, who know their need for forgiveness, not sinners who think they're saints already. After all, Christ is no more a savior than when we are sinners and ask to be forgiven. For Christ became man and united himself with sinful humanity so that we might become sharers in his divine life. And he does this by the gift of his grace, which transforms us and makes us holy, sanctifying grace, so that the Blessed Trinity would dwell in us as a temple. This is the scandal of Christianity, the scandal to those who don't believe. The wonderful intimacy of God. This is the gospel we profess. And this essentially is what we celebrate today, the triumph of God's grace in the lives of men and women who were sinners like us, excepting, of course, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. Fellow Christians who are also struggling, striving to navigate the difficulties of life and seeking their happiness in God alone. St. Augustine once said that God is glorified in his saints, and when he crowns their merits and rewards them, then God is crowning the gift of his grace which he put in their hearts. This gift is none other than the Holy Ghost, the living presence of God in our lives, in our hearts. And as we know, the Spirit is the Counselor, the one promised by Christ, promised by our blessed Lord, and given us to lead us in the way of truth. Every child, as we have seen and as we know, needs a teacher. But as we know, a child who doesn't want to learn or heed the warning of his parent cannot be forced to learn. Which is why God doesn't command or oblige us. He invites us with the promises of His grace and of His happiness. The Beatitudes of today's Gospel. Sometimes we look at the Beatitudes like they're ideals which are just too hard to achieve, or we may think we know better. But today's feast calls to mind the men and women, and some perhaps known to us, who really embody these ideals and who are taught by the Spirit of God to learn from the wisdom of Christ, this great multitude of Christians, past and present, are strengthened each day to seek the face of God, strengthened by His grace. Some do so despite persecution and great difficulty, great tribulation. Many Christians in various parts of the world are still being killed and persecuted to this day. And the witness of these saints gives us hope and courage. But there are also little sacrifices offered each day for Christ, for truth, goodness, and love. Think, for example, how often we might have had to be a peacemaker or be merciful at home, at work. How many opportunities God affords us to be meek or pure of heart, or to be poor in spirit, or suffer persecution for justice's sake. And all of these possible because of God's grace, because of an openness to the Holy Ghost. My friends, the path to holiness begins with an acknowledgement that we are sinners and are longing for God's mercy and salvation. But the path winds through even our kitchens, our gardens, across our schools, by our offices and homes, straight to our hearts. For it's ordinarily in these places that we can seek God and seek Him with a pure heart, an undivided heart, not just when we're at church and God's presence, God's response is always to fill us with His blessing, giving us a share in the very life of the most blessed Trinity, so that if we persevere in His friendship, we might ourselves become blessed and join the company of all His saints. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.